Yeah, I was going to grab it in a second. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. There we go. Welcome to Bethany this morning. We're glad that you're here. My name's Pastor Jared, and just want to extend a warm welcome to everybody as we gather to worship. And the temperature outside today may reflect that warm welcome as well as it climbs into the 40s. It's a regular heat wave. Just a few announcements as we get started this morning that you may have seen as you came in this morning. There are still some coffee and refreshments, I think, over there. So afterwards, if you need a snack for your drive home, go ahead and grab one. There's cards to be signed, Valentine's cards for our veterans. So please, they're on the round table over there. Please check those out. Sign those if you have not done that already. Suborders are out on the table, and thank you to everybody who is buying subs, who's eating subs, who's selling subs. Last month, we did our best sales numbers for a very long time at like 100, what did you say, Larry? 140 in profit. So that's very good, so thank you to everyone who's doing that. Keep that up. Enjoy the subs. Even if you don't enjoy them, keep eating them and buying them. Thank you. Next Sunday is Caring Cupboard Sunday, so again, bring in your donations of toiletries or of canned goods or whatever, and the cart will be in the back for the Caring Cupboard. And then also, there is an announcement in here, and you saw it up there. We are planning to have an indoor yard sale on Saturday, March 2nd. That's the first Saturday in March. Downstairs, we're going to have some food. We'll have we have a bunch of people who are getting tables for a yard sale, but we also would like to do a bake sale with that. So if you're good at baking, if you're passable at baking, as long as you won't poison anybody when you're baking, please consider baking an item for our bake sale. Sign-up sheet, I think, will be out next Sunday, if that's correct. So look for that next Sunday. It'll be on the table over here gathering room, so please, the proceeds from all that, from the food and from table fees and various things like that, will be going towards the front doors as well. So please keep that in mind as you're thinking and preparing to bake. As we enter the worship space this morning, I invite you, as I always do, to just enter it here to calm yourselves, to center on Christ. We have a lot going on. There's a big day ahead with, you know, food and fun if you're into the Super Bowl, but we are here. We are here now, and we gather to worship. So let us begin our time with a moment of silence. Would you please join me in the call to worship as printed in the bulletin and on the screen as well. And please stand if you are able for the call to worship. Lord, we are here to offer you our worship and praise. As we gather, wrap us in the arms of your love, O Holy One. Teach us to be patient and kind in our action, and humble of heart in all our ways. Help us to see and to know ourselves as well as you see and know us, that our words may be true and our love may be pure. Let us into a community that bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, in the name of love, which never ends. Amen. Let us join together in singing number 154, Love Divine, 154.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come and give thanks and praise you for the love that you have poured out onto each of us in sending your Son in his death and resurrection, and each and every day as you walk beside us, carry us, and bless us. This morning as we gather, Lord, send your Spirit in our hearts. Transform us, perfect us in your love, because you have called us to be it here in this world. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. Let's continue in worship this morning by singing number 16, The Love of God, number 16. Please be seated. I should know by the title of who wrote that song that it's a Mennonite song, because it's a layman who is the author, and so I must have sung that a lot in my Mennonite background. So remember that one. Now is the time in our service where we go before the Lord in our prayer, with our prayers and our praises. Please take note of those listed in the prayer concerns on the opposite side of the beginning of our order of worship. Just two things to note. Please be in prayer for the family of Betty Schaffner, who passed away last Saturday. The funeral was on Friday. Betty's daughter fell and broke her ankle in three places and broke her leg on Tuesday, had surgery on Wednesday, had screws put in and a rod put in, was up and doing some walking, but was not able to go to the funeral on Friday, and is in the hospital, as far as I know, still working on rehab. So please be in prayer for her and her recovery as well, but just the whole family as they have said goodbye. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, you call us to come and lay our burdens, our joys, our concerns at your feet. Because of your love, because of your care for us, you know these things often before we speak them. And you are ready to listen, even though sometimes we are unwilling to speak. This morning as we gather, Lord, we come thanking you for the blessings, the ways that you have walked beside us this past week, have kept us safe in the midst of cold and snow. But Lord, we acknowledge and know there are many things on our hearts, on our minds, concerns, worries. And we come before you laying them down. For friends and family in need of healing. For those who are mourning in need of comfort. For those in need of direction and wisdom. For those who seek you but don't know it, don't understand it. Lord, may we be light and love. May we boldly proclaim in our words, in our actions, your care and love in all of these situations that we face. Remind us of that daily, Lord. Remind us of that hourly. Remind us of it whenever we need it. That you are there, that you love and care for. And Lord, help us not to just hold that close to us, not to just hold that for ourselves, but to share to our family, to our friends, to the world around us, your love. Help us to be your light, your city on a hill. Lord, we pray all these things in the name of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Let's continue in worship this morning by the giving of our tithes.
Thank you.
bless us and give us these gifts, these tithes, these offerings to take care of, to use for your kingdom and your name. Take and multiply them so that all may know your love for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us continue in worship through song this morning by singing number 225, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, number 225. Please be seated. Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, and it's actually on page 175 of the New Testament in the Bible in your pew racks there. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, page 175. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we only know in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to the childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part, Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. And the greatest of these is love. This morning we will wrap up our Greater Gifts worship series that we have been journeying through over the past 4 weeks. And over the 3 weeks ago, we started with baptism. And we talked about baptism, and we talked about remembering our baptism, that each of us is given God's first gift of gifts of grace, mercy, and love, and we are called into the body of Christ through our baptism. We are marked as beloved, and we are empowered with gifts. And we are called to work with those gifts in the kingdom. Then from there we went to 1 Corinthians 12 and we talked a little bit more about these gifts. What does it mean to be empowered with the Holy Spirit, to be given gifts? What does it mean for each of us? That each of us have a role to play, that each of us have something to do, that none of us can check out and say, that's not up to me. That's not my job, that's not my whatever. All of us, each of us, have something to offer the kingdom of God. All of us have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, and all of us are called to work with these gifts. Last week, we continued this by talking a little bit about the fact that whether we like it or not, whether we want to put up with other people or not, we need other people. We cannot do things alone. As much as people tell us that we can be self-sufficient, that we can do everything ourselves, we cannot and should not try to do it alone. God forms a community. And where we are the body of Christ, we are not individuals on an island, and we need the gifts that each other brings. This morning we wrap up this series by looking at what binds all of this together. What makes this community work, what makes these giftings work, and that is love. That is love. Love is what matters. Love is what brings this together. And last week I said that, and I think it bears repeating, but community is hard. Living and working with other people is difficult. Liz knows this. She posted on Facebook this week that she has to be silent or else it will be used as an example on a sermon. So I saw that and we're using it. But even so, like Liz knows, before I get my coffee in the morning, I'm a grouch. When I'm tired at the end of the day and I've had a long day of dealing with other people, I'm such an introvert. And when I've had a long day of dealing with other people, I don't want to deal with more people. And that's tough. And all of us, to some level, probably understand that and know that. There are points it is just hard. It is just hard to have other people around, to be in community. Because it's not all people thinking like me. It's not all people doing what I want. It's differing gifts and differing abilities, right? It's differing passions and visions. And somehow we have to figure out how to work that all together. And it would be simpler, less drama, if I could do it myself. But I think most of us would begrudgingly acknowledge that at some point or another, we need other people. We need help. We need assistance. We need the friends. We need the family. We need other people. Some of us perhaps more begrudgingly than others. And I think Paul anticipates this, because Paul is writing this passage to a church that is struggling with division, that is struggling with competing factions, that's struggling with figuring out how to live together. And so Paul, in anticipating this and being inspired by the Spirit, writes 1 Corinthians 13, it wasn't 1 Corinthians 13 at the time, but writes this passage of scripture right after he finishes talking about the fact that we need each other. That we need each other, and so he says then we also need love. Because in order for this community thing to work, in order for us to get along, in order for us to use the varying gifts, skills, and talents to the best of their abilities, we need to be able to be in community. We need the love that pulls us together. Right? We need this binding factor. This something deeper than just my personal feelings or understanding. That makes us into something else. Love is essential. Love is something that marks the Christian, that marks every follower of Christ. Right? And it's not just love of pizza or love of coffee or ice cream. Those things are great and deserve our attention. Yesterday was National Ice Cream for Breakfast Day. Unfortunately, we missed it in our household, so I did not get ice cream for breakfast. But, you know, those things are important and those goods, but it's not, my love of ice cream is not the same that love that Paul is talking about. It's more significant, it's more deeper. It's what Christ has shown us in coming, teaching, and dying for us. That is love, right? That is love. That is love that goes beyond just my personal feelings or my ability to like you. In Sunday school this morning, we referenced Philippians chapter 2, the hymn that is in that, the poetry that Christ, you know, though in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself to death on a cross. That's love. That's love. For us, as Paul says in Romans, while we were still sinners. That's love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or rude. This passage is probably familiar if you've ever been to any wedding, because this is the wedding passage, right? 1 Corinthians 13. And I think I refuse to let it be our wedding passage. Is that right? Yes. I refuse to let this be our wedding passage. And I typically, if a couple selects this passage, I have a spiel, because I ask them, do you really understand what you are committing to? If you stand up, and if this is preached, and I'm going to preach a sermon at your wedding based on this passage, do you hear the words? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not rude, is not irritable. Do you hear those words? Because they're not easy. They're not simple. It's not the warm, fuzzy greeting card that everybody puts in their, you know, their wedding card, and, oh, it's so precious. No, this is Paul's instruction to a community who is struggling to get along. And so this passage is messy, is complicated. And yeah, I will gladly preach this at your wedding, but you need to know what I am preaching, what Paul is talking about. Paul did not sit down and say, I need to write a passage for 2,000 years later for Christian pastors to preach at a wedding. It's not Paul's intention, right? And it's funny how we can turn a passage that is really meant to confront us, really meant to challenge us, really meant to point to our deficiencies as Christians, into a warm and fuzzy thing that bears no likeness to what Paul was saying. Because I am certainly rude. I certainly don't like it when I don't get my way, and my patience does run out. Right? And all of us can probably say amen to that. Our patience runs out with our spouses, with our kids, with whoever it may be. And the command to love and to commit ourselves to this is not an easy one. It's not a simple one. So maybe that's why Paul writes that we see things dimly now. We are not perfect now. And it's the acknowledgement that these things are not from us. Where we started this journey, I think it's important to end the journey. That God in our baptism is beginning a work of transformation that is beyond what I can accomplish, beyond what I can do, beyond what I have the abilities for. It is otherworldly. It is heavenly. It is the work of the Spirit in our lives. And so as we wrap up this series, as we think about our gifts, as we think about what God has called us to do, how God has called us to work for his kingdom, that God has gifted each of us, that God has called us to be a community together that works with our gifts and our talents, that works for the kingdom. We end with reminding ourselves that we need God to do it. That it is God who initiates the gifts, it is God who stitches the gifts together in a body, and it is God who gives us the ability to love one another, to work for his glory. Because if it is left up to me, I will be rude, I will be selfish, I will be envious. But I need to be transformed. I need to be shown the love of God. I need to be reminded of what God has done. And I need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a fuller life of love. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. John Wesley talked about Christian perfection. The idea that we theoretically could become perfect, that we could be made perfect in love. Paul talks about this too, in the fact that he calls us to strive towards a goal, to work towards being more and more Christ-like each and every day. So that's the challenge. That's what's out there. As we step out into the community of faith, as we are knitted together into the community of faith, we are called to be a people of love. So that's why it is appropriate, I think, that's the first of the month, it is appropriate to end our service, our series, with communion. Because this is ultimately the symbol of love. This is ultimately the symbol of what God has done for each of us. And the work that God does in our lives each and every day. This is the means of grace, the reminder, the encourager that God still works in our lives. That God still transforms, moves, and changes our hearts. Forming us into a community. Forming us into the body of Christ. And so we break one loaf. We drink from one cup because we are of one body. We are of one body of Christ. It is a right and good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, who formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we have turned away and our love has failed. You, O God, have remained steadfast. You have delivered us from captivity, and you have made a covenant to be our sovereign God. Holy are you, blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who your Spirit anointed to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. That when the Lord Jesus ascended, he had promised to be with us always in power of your word and Holy Spirit. So on that night, when Jesus was with his disciples, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you." In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant shed for you." And we do this as often as we gather in remembrance of God. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts, God, in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, that Christ is risen, and that Christ will come again. Lord, we pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and make for and on these gifts of bread and wine, make for them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ to the world, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. This morning, I will invite you here momentarily to come front. We will be celebrating communion by intinction. I will have a piece of bread, or the bread and the cup. Tear off a piece of bread and dip it in the cup. And then you can come down the center and go back out the side aisles. If you do not wish to get up, that is fine. The ushers have bread and communion cups that they can be brought to you if you wish to stay seated. I invite you to enter in this time, acknowledging your brokenness, our need, the ways we fail in love, but knowing that Christ has made a way, that Christ loves and cares for each of us. And that is why we gather around this table of love. The table has been set. Come, eat. Body of Christ broken for you. That's okay. The blood of Christ shed. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are nourished today by your love and grace and mercy poured out for each of us in your body and blood. Strengthen us with these your gifts to do your work here in this community and in any way that you call us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we conclude today and invite us to sing through the song that has kind of been our concluding song through this series, Spirit of the Living God, number 361. We'll sing through that twice. And again, this has been our prayer that God sends his Spirit upon us to mold us and transform us, to use our gifts for his glory. So please stand this morning and sing number 361 twice, Spirit of the Living God. May you go this week in the love of God and be love to all that you meet. In Jesus' name, go in peace.